You know what the scariest thing is? To not know your place in this world. To not know why you're here. It's just an awful feeling.
Turnabout is fair play. Maestro, you ever heard that statement before? Turnabout is fair play?
Yes, I have.
Well, let me tell you how turnabout was fair played in my life recently. How about that?
I would love to hear that.
You would love to hear that. Well, as I've mentioned before on the program, one of the hats I wear in this life is I am a real estate instructor here in Greenville at the Wyatt Institute of Real Estate. And in 2004, I was a student there, so I know what it's like to sit in class all day long for days at a time being pummeled with real estate-related things you need to know in order to pass a licensing exam. Now I get to pummel other people for days and days and days in a row, and sometimes you kind of forget what it's like to having been pummeled. Well, a couple days ago, I got pummeled. Having to go to a continuing education class for my real estate instructor's license. And we were in school all day long.
You know it already, though.
Actually, I learned a few things. It's one of the few times when I've gone to a continuing education class and actually was glad that I did, because I learned quite a few things that were new and interesting, some of which I'll share on the program today. But I am, I must confess, still not fully recovered from the weariness that ensued after having to drink water out of a fire hose for 8 hours straight in a classroom. So if I ever seem to forget what it's like to be pummeled, the good Lord throws me into a position where I have to be pummeled as a student, so I can be careful to be nice to my students when I teach to them about real estate. But we're not going to talk about real estate today. We're going to talk about career callings, because this is the Career Calling Show, and I'm your host, Robbie Romeiser. Our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email. Phone or text at 864-381-7649. That's 864-381-7649. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. And as always, after we are on air, we make all of our shows available via podcast, at careercallings.net/radio. You can also find us by searching Career Callings on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio, in case you have any of those apps on your smartphone, tablet, or computer, whether it be PC or Mac. All right, well, let me talk about some of the stuff I learned yesterday, or the other day, I should say, when we were in that class all day long.
Being pummeled.
I had quite the copious amount of caffeine to make it through that day, if I do say so. And that may be why I'm still not fully recovered. I'm having withdrawal symptoms from trying to come down off of that caffeine boost. But actually, one of the things that I was reminded of while there was the need for persistence in life when it comes to pursuing your career calling. In order to illustrate that, let me actually share with you a story of something that came about or recently occurred at our real estate school at the Wyatt Institute. And one of the students came up to me recently and asked the question or expressed a concern I get all the time. I'm worried about the real estate exam. I'm not so sure I can pass it. What kind of words of encouragement can you give me? And there's usually one or two stories I tell people. No, Maestro, I do not tell them, give up. You're going to fail.
No, I'm thinking, it's a piece of cake.
Piece of cake. That's what he's saying, he said. But he's over there making frowny faces like they're going to die. They're just going to die. They're not going to make it. They're going to fail miserably. No, that's not what I say. No, what I try to do is encourage them and help them understand that persistence, really in anything in life, is one of the key components to success, whether it be success in pursuing your career calling or anything else. And I give them two examples. One of the things one of our former students told us years ago is he had a buddy down in Florida who failed the Florida state exam 12 times before finally passing it. And that may sound awful, but really, it wasn't. It was just a sign of the persistence that he had, because not long ago, he made $2 million a year, in 1 year, rather, in real estate commissions. So he's an outstanding real estate agent. And one of the things you have to really be good at in order to be an outstanding real estate agent is be extremely persistent, because you're going to have 10 deals and five of them, six of them are going to fall through. Eight of them might fall through. Maybe only two will, but it's a very topsy-turvy world. It's going to be riddled with topsy-turvy business, I should say, and it's going to be riddled with ups and downs. So being able to be persistent throughout those ups and downs is a key component of being able to be successful in that. Also, a similar story. One of the instructors at that workshop indicated that one of his former students had failed the Pennsylvania exam eight times. But that young lady who finally passed it on her ninth time is the third top salesperson in a company in Pennsylvania with 6,000 agents. So I was trying to just encourage our student who asked me that question, and all the students who asked me that question over the years, hey, you got to be persistent, all right? That's a key component. Don't let that one obstacle throw you off of the track that God has you on. Be willing to be strong and push through that. Now, obviously, it's God who gives us the will and the power to do his good pleasure, but God also speaks to the human side. See, God provides us with the power to do his good pleasure. He provides us with the will to do his good pleasure, whether it's inside the realm of career or outside the realm of career. But even though he gives the will and the power to us, he does still give us some responsibility to accept his will and accept his power. Now, in order to talk about, or to illustrate that, one of my favorite verses in the Bible, Proverbs 20:10, when I need to be reminded of our duty to make a decision to be persistent, is Proverbs 24:10, which says, "If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small." And that tells me that we have an obligation not to give up when the hard times come, but to turn around and then beg the Lord for both the will and the power to get through that obstacle. And what a lot of people don't do in pursuit of their career calling is they don't do that. Something crazy happens that throws them off their groove. By the way, this has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about, Maestro, but you ever seen the movie called The Emperor's New Groove?
No.
Okay,
no,
you have to get that. You and your bride need to get a copy of The Emperor's New Groove, one of the best animated films. It'll make you'll split your side laughing.
Well, that's it. I don't watch animated films.
You need to expand your horizons, sir. And like I said, that has absolutely nothing to do with what I'm talking about. I'm on a rabbit trail today, so that's that. But yeah, you got to be persistent. If you get something that throws you off your groove, don't let that stop you from pursuing the path that God has shown you to pursue. Beg him for both the will and the power to do his good pleasure. Now, one of the other things I was reminded of while at this instructor training was the need to be consistent as well. You got to be persistent in your pursuit of God's calling in your life. You also need to be consistent as well. Now, the instructor, one of the two instructors that would be proper English, one equals was. So the one that was talking in the afternoon session referred to a book written by a guy named Jim Collins, and shame on me, I forget the name of the book. I'll have to look it up at the break and get back to you. But Jim Collins wrote a book that came out recently, and what he was doing in the book was trying to find companies over the past few decades, pairs of companies, one that were pretty much doing the same thing, in the same kind of market, in the same kind of business. And he was looking for companies where one just kind of struggled or maybe even died, and the other company excelled under the same conditions, and excelled not just a little bit, but excelled 10 times better than the companion company. And so they searched, I think if I remember correctly from the workshop, like over 20,000 different companies. And out of all those, they only found like eight pairs of companies over the past few decades where they were in the same exact business, doing the same exact thing. One company did 10 times better than the other one, and the other one either is still limping along or may even be out of business at this time. Well, the one illustration that the instructor gave to us was about Southwest Airlines. You ever flown Southwest Airlines, Meister?
I have. My bag's flying free.
Yo, what?
My bags fly free.
How nice of them. That is so sweet. Yes, but Southwest Airlines has a great reputation, and they, as I understand it, have been profitable every year they've been in business. And by the way, they were founded in the year 1967, which is unheard of for an airline to be profitable every year. The only year I think they lost money was the first year they were in business. Ever since then, they've been profitable. The contrasting company was a company called Pacific Southwest Airlines. Do you remember ever hearing about that, PSA?
No,
I've never heard of them either. They were actually around for quite a long time, 1949 until finally in 1988, Pacific Southwest Airlines folded its doors. So these two companies were in the same market at the same time. There was some overlap there, you know. But 1967 to 1988, they were both in the same business doing the same kind of thing. But one of them is still going strong today, making good money. One of them went out of business almost 30 years ago. So what was the difference? Well, Jim Collins, the author of this book, said that I gotta get the name of that book.
We'll guess, you know, maybe it's The Grapes of Wrath.
It's not The Grapes of Wrath.
Maybe it's The Old Man and the Sea.
It's what?
Just another book. Go ahead.
Oh, goodness. That's too cultured for me. Oh, okay. It was Great by Choice by Jim Collins. Okay.
Oh, that book. Yeah.
Yeah, you knew about that one, right? Great by Choice by Jim Collins. Yeah. All right. So anyway, he went through and said basically what made Southwest Airlines and these other companies that he chronicled in the book great was something called durable operating practices. Durable operating practices. Now, we will go through a short list of what the most prevalent durable operating practices are at Southwest and have been ever since their inception. And we will apply those to our own career callings for the Lord. But we're going to have to wait and do that on the other side of the break, because it's time to go grab some Cheetos and a Coke and sit back and have a little snack. Well, of course, you listen to the money-making ads on Career College Radio. See you in just a few minutes.
When you listen every weekday to the Eric Metaxas Show, you'll hear from the people making news. Plus, we'll talk to some of the more surprising voices in contemporary Christian life. And did I mention fun? Yeah, I'm Eric Metaxas, and I'm trying to pioneer a new kind of talk radio. So join me every weekday for the Eric Metaxas Show. You'll never think about radio quite the same way again.
Tonight at 10 on Christian Talk 92.9.
All right, I'm in studio here today with Dr. Jerome II of Palmetto Proactive Healthcare. Doctor, how do you see Teach Me Morpheus helping your business?
Palmetto Proactive Healthcare is a direct primary care clinic. We don't contract with insurance companies. Our patients are all self-pay. There's two ways to engage our practice, either a la carte or membership. Teach Me Morpheus will benefit our patients by providing an opportunity to educate our patients outside the clinic. For example, if I see you for a sinus infection and realize you forgot to ask me something, Teach Me Morpheus can have one of our videos for sinus infection that you click. You can go through my instructions. We'll basically become a 24/7 resource for our patients.
Help your customers make money for your organization. That's what TeachMeMorpheus.com, a new online learning platform, can do for your business or nonprofit. To learn more, check out TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO. That's TeachMeMorpheus.com, referral code HISRADIO.
You are never too old to grow in your faith.
The golden years. It's a great period of life to experience God.
And the Billy Graham Training Center at The Cove in Asheville invites you to experience God. There are hymn sings and seminars planned for folks just like us. There are also beautiful mountain surroundings, rocking chair porches, and delicious meals. Whether you come for one day or a few, senior events at The Cove are times of renewal, encouragement, and Christian fellowship. All the details are at thecove.org. That's thecove.org.
Only 27% of college grads are working in the career field for which they studied. The average cost of college is a little bit more than $18,000 a year. This means that 73% of college grads waste $75,000 and years of their lives pursuing fields of study they will never use in real life. To learn more about how you or someone you love can use biblical wisdom to avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision, visit careercallings.net/discover, careercallings.net/discover.
Keep it here. You're locked into Christian Talk 660.
But our lives aren't just measured in years. They're measured in the lives of people we touch around us.
This feels like my calling and my purpose in life. There's something different about this journey that's more heart connected.
Purpose is more than just your core of your own self. It's beyond your own identity. Everybody ultimately wants to serve other people.
You can have everything in life you want. You'll just help enough other people get what they want.
And that little bit of sadness in the mornings you spoke of, perhaps you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing.
I hope you enjoyed that bag of Cheetos and that Coke on the break. You know, actually, the reason why Cheetos and Coke are on top of mind, Maestro, is because I must confess I consumed a small bag of Cheetos and a rather fizzy can of Coca-Cola.
Really?
Right before I walked into the studio. That's why I'm so cheery, because I love junk food. Of course, I guess I should not admit that. On the public airways.
Not on the air.
On the air. Can you? I guess it's too late to bleep that. We're past the 4-second delay.
Sorry.
Already.
Everybody knows now.
You slacker. I tell you what, you need to be a little bit better on that beeper thingy over there. All right. Before the break, we were talking about something. Before we would pick up where we left off, let me reintroduce this segment. This is Robbie Romeiser with your show here, the Career Callings Radio Show, and our purpose at Career Callings is to help people avoid the financial and emotional pain of a bad career decision by helping them find, prepare for, and pursue the work God created them to do. You can join us today by phone, text, or email, phone or text at 864-381-7649, 381-7649, area code 864. Or by email at robbie@careercallings.net. That's R-O-B-B-I-E at careercallings.net. Speaking of emails, before we resume our conversation about the need to be consistent in your pursuit of God's career calling, let me quickly share an email with you to let you know of something I recently got from a gentleman named Alan from Canada. Even though we are based in Greenville, South Carolina, we have a worldwide reach at Career Callings, thanks to the power of the internet. And I received this email not long ago from Alan from Canada. He said, Robbie, our son was born in 1997 and graduated from grade 12 last June. Since then, he's had a few part-time jobs. Right now, however, he would like to seek some more clarity on his future career path. He would like to try Career Callings. Is the career direct assessment the best place for our son to start? Well, Alan, thanks for reaching out to me by email. Undoubtedly, the Career Direct Assessment is the best place for your son to start. It is the foundational step in the entire Career Callings process, and it is the step I personally took in 2008 that eventually led to what is now Career Callings. And it'll help your son understand what kind of work God created him to do. It'll also give him the tools to find job opportunities that match up with that unique God-given design that the Lord's given to him. So definitely, I think that's where you ought to start. And just to kind of give you an idea of how other people have benefited from this and from the Career Callings implementation of the Career Direct Assessment, which is produced, by the way, by Crown Ministries. Ray Lynn from Montana wrote this not long after we spent some time counseling with her on her Career Direct Assessment results. Career Callings, she wrote, Career Callings Assessment has given me extra insight into what I am or who I am as a person and what that actually can look like in a job setting. I've often felt frustrated with different jobs and not entirely known why, and now I feel like I have confirmation on why. So often my job choices did not match up with my personality or my values. I feel like I now have a clearer picture of what I can pursue and succeed at within my gifts and passions that God has blessed me with. What an encouragement it is to work with other Christians who can prayerfully help and guide us to a more fulfilling career and life in Christ. I will definitely pass the word around about career calling since my experience has been so positive. And again, that's Ray Lynn from Montana. So if you're struggling to find out what the Lord would have next for you in your life, consider reaching out to me at careercallings.net/radio or careercallings.net, which will land you on the homepage. And you can learn more about how the career direct assessment works by going to our Discover page. Or you can reach out to me by at robbie@careercallings.net via email, and I'll be glad to direct you or give you the information you need about how the career direct assessment process can benefit you or someone that you love. Now, before the break, we were talking about the need to be both persistent and consistent in your pursuit of God's career calling. And we were just about to review a story written by, or at least chronicled by, Jim Collins in his book. What was the name of that book again? Oh yeah, Great by Choice. I almost lost the stinking title again. So Great by Choice by Jim Collins. I have not yet, by the way, Maestro, had a chance to read this book. I just learned about it a couple days ago. We were at this training session, and I intend to buy it and read it because it sounded fantastic. For example, as we were saying right before the break, what Jim Collins did was he researched over 20,000 different companies over a several decade period. And what he was trying to do is find out, he's trying to pair up various companies in the same industry that were in operation at the same time, facing the same market forces and challenges. And he was trying to uncover businesses that were limping along and contrast them with businesses that were excelling. And his definition of excelling was they were doing 10 times better than the companies that were struggling. And he only found 8 pairs over the multi-decade period he researched. And what we were about to talk about is his comparison and contrast of Southwest Airlines, which is still in business today, founded in 1967 and been profitable every year except its first year, with a company no longer in existence called Pacific Southwest Airlines, which was in business from 1949 to 1988. And basically, what he said the difference between failure and success was that Southwest Airlines defined and implemented what Jim Collins labeled durable operating practices, and Pacific Southwest Airlines did not, which is what contributed to their eventual demise. So what does Southwest Airlines do, even today, that has made them so successful? What Collins said was this. Number one, they made a choice to only use one plane, the Boeing 737. All of their planes are of that same manufacturer and that same model. So they're very interchangeable. If one plane goes down, they just put another plane right in front of it, and they can put the same passengers in the same seating arrangements without any issues whatsoever. Very interchangeable also for repairs. You know, you got, what is that term in economics? I just went blank, Maestro. It's economies of scale. Economies of scale. If you've got all of the same aircraft, you can stockpile all the same parts you need and be able to buy them cheaper and be able to use them when needed for doing repairs. That was thing number one he pointed out. Thing number two was that Southwest Airlines made a strategic decision from day one to only be a short-haul airline. Well, I say from day one, at least from early in their process or in their lifespan. So now all of their flights are plus or minus 2 hours, give or take a little bit. As opposed to many airlines, which go, nationally, internationally, fly hours at a time. So they specialize in the short haul. Number three, quick flight turnaround. They don't have, apparently, long delays between flights. You bring a plane in, unload it, maintain it, or repair it, whatever you got to do, and then get it back in the air pretty quickly. Next, no food, other than maybe a snack of peanuts or something like that. They don't expend money or staff on dealing with a lot of food, which they don't really need to if the average flight's only plus or minus 2 hours. No interlining, meaning interlining in the airline industry just means that you're trying to coordinate your flights with other airline flights so that you can connect one flight to another. They don't do that. They only say, hey, if you want to know what our flights are, you contact us. We're not going to try to connect with anybody else. That minimizes confusion and scheduling delays. Passengers only. They don't haul mail. They don't haul freight. They haul people. And they also, lastly here, focus on low fares. They want to be able to be affordable, keep it family friendly. So bottom line is Southwest Airlines is very, very focused. They know who they are. They understand what they do best. They understand what goal they're trying to achieve, and they pursue that goal with consistent diligence and don't get sidetracked trying to be too many things to too many people. And they're still around today and have been profitable, as I said, every year since their inception, which except for that first year, because of that focus. Now, in order to bring those two together, if you really want to be outstanding in pursuing God's career calling for your life, you need to have, number one, your own durable operating practices, and number two, you need to be able to persistently and consistently pursue them. And to illustrate one more time the power of to putting both of these together, I want to cite briefly for you something else that Jim Collins in his book, Great by Choice, wrote about. Now, I did not know this, maybe you did, that the names of the two guys, the first two guys that tried to make it to the South Pole were, and I'm just going to quiz you here, Maestro, do you know from your history lesson who those two guys were?
No.
Okay, very good. That's nice, short, sweet, to the point. I appreciate you not belaboring the point. Mm-hmm. They were a guy named, I hope I pronounce it correctly, he was a Norwegian explorer named, last name, Amundsen, A-M-U-N-D-E-D-S-E-N, Amundsen. He was from Norway, as I said. The other guy was a guy named Robert Scott from England, so that's a little bit easier for me to say. They both set out to be the first person to reach the South Pole in the year 1910.
Amundsen?
Thank you. Amundsen made it.
Oh.
Scott died on the way.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was not a happy ending for Mr. Scott. And what Jim Collins wrote about is what was the difference between the two. One of the examples he gave of Amundsen being both persistent and consistent in the pursuit of his durable operating practices. In reading Amundsen's diary, Amundsen had set a daily goal to travel 20 miles a day no matter what. Well, during one of those times, one of those days, there was a horrible, horrible storm, and it was a huge blizzard, and if I remember correctly from our training workshop, it was 80 degrees below zero. And in reading Amundsen's diary from that day, Amundsen wrote, "Only made it 18 miles today." All right, so he was going after his 20 miles, but due to the horrible conditions, he only made it 18. Close, but not quite, but very, very close. In contrast, reading Robert Scott's diary for the same day, chronicled the same weather, but he said, due to conditions, stayed in tent all day. And so he did not make any effort to move forward. He was not consistent or persistent in pursuing a goal, no matter what. And the point of all this is simply this. Discovering and pursuing God's career calling is going to take both persistency and consistency. It can be hard work to discover your calling. It can be even harder to take the steps to follow God's call for your life. But if you want to be successful in following God's career calling, you're going to have to be persistent and consistent in doing the things every day that travel the path God showed you to travel. With that challenge, I would just say, seek first the kingdom of God, and everything else that He wants you to have will fall into place. God bless, and see you next time.